Good afternoon once again. Thank God for the opportunity to share the word of God with you this afternoon. Brethren, it looks like today's messages and admonitions are all based on one thing: praise. Because as our brother and my uncle Peter was preaching, I said, wow. He said, we offer ourselves as what? Praise offering. And it's been hammered by Uncle Jeff. We thank God, and I know the Holy Spirit is doing its work, teaching and revealing things to us. Today, I also want to talk about praise, worship. And I want us to look at it from a different angle. A different angle. As Christians, saying praise, singing to God as one of the tools to break through, to overcome problems, and to build our Christian lives. Singing offers two opportunities to the Christian. One, as prayer. When you are singing, it's a form of prayer. And at the same time, it's a form of worship. When you are singing, you are doing two things at the same time. You are praying as well as you are worshiping God. So it's very important when we meet and we are singing. At times, you check the words that you say. You will see that it's more or less like a prayer. You know, when we're singing Uncle David's request song, touch my heart. Just like we are singing. But there and then, you know, the psalm that came into my mind, Psalm 91. Before God, as we were singing, it's like someone bidding farewell, isn't it? We shall see face to face. Death. But then I said, no, Psalm 91, I have seen your salvation, and with long life. That was the prayer I was praying. I said, with long life, you will satisfy my days, because I have seen your salvation. That was the song of Moses, Psalm 91. It started in Psalm 90. He said, because our days are short, how long do we spend? 70 days. 70 years, sorry. But in Psalm 91, he said, I have seen your salvation. And salvation in Hebrew is what? Yeshua. I have seen Yeshua. We have seen Christ. And so, he will satisfy us with long life. Look, someone will say 50 years. If 50 years you are satisfied, you can ask him to come for you. Hallelujah. If 100 years want to be satisfied, he will satisfy you with 100 years. Hallelujah. And you will go. So when we were singing that song, that was the psalm that came to my mind. And then you read that psalm. Hallelujah. Oh, God is great. We may not be many, but brethren, I'm telling you, what the Spirit is doing in our midst is powerful. And so when we are singing, let us sing. No matter whether the song is familiar or not, let us try and sing with our whole heart. From within. By so doing, we are doing two things. We are praying as well as worshiping our God. Sing hymns or songs as a prayer. Let's look at two scriptures quickly. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, I'm reading all my scriptures are from the New King James Version. Psalm 42, verse 8. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. You see, the songs you are singing in the night is like a prayer to God. Let's look at Psalm 102, verse 1. Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. It's a song, but it's a form of prayer. You see, so the songs we sing, the hymns we sing, they are all forms of prayer. I read a little about Fanny Crosby. And you know, as she wasn't born blind, but I think when she was growing, she became blind. And she wrote many songs. And she was once asked that, what would she have loved, you know, to be? She said, look, I wouldn't have asked for more. You know, considering her situation, she said, look, I like the way I am. Because she wouldn't know whether if she were born, she had been born to be, you know, capable of seeing, she wouldn't know what would have happened. But even in her blindness, she was praising God. And most of the songs she wrote, they were marvelous songs. Brother. Now let's look at two scriptures also where hymns or songs are seen as worship. Psalm 66. For prayer, go through the Psalms. Many of the Psalms. When I was doing this research, many came to mind. You go there, you find many. So Psalm 66, verse 4. Psalm 66, verse 4. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. So by singing praises to God, you are worshiping God, brethren. You are offering Him worship. Wow. Psalm 96, verse 9. Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. Brethren, so here we see that by singing songs to God, you are offering what? Prayer. At the same time, we are worshiping God. Now, we are going to see how some people of God, through this too, were able to have breakthroughs in their lives. Let's start with Leah. In Genesis chapter 29, we know the story of Jacob. When Jacob took his brother's blessing, he ran away to his uncle Laban. And then there, he found his love, Rachel. And so he was asked to work for 7 years to marry Rachel. But after working for 7 years, he was given Leah to marry. Because according to Laban, the art tradition is that the older sister has to marry first. And so, he was given Leah. But let's face facts. Do you think Jacob, at that moment, will have some love for Leah? Let's face it, we are all human. Yeah? I see B and I want B, and then I was given A. We are humans. The feeling we have now hasn't changed. You see, let's look at the story in Genesis 29, verse 31. Now, he worked for 7 years more, and then he was given Rachel. So he's got two wives. 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, you see, he was not loved. He was not loved. Jacob didn't love her. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on me, on my affliction. So that's the meaning of Reuben. The Lord has looked on my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. You see, because she was not loved. Now, the man went into her and she conceived, gave birth to a son and called him Reuben. The Lord has seen, at least the Lord has consoled me. Has seen my affliction and has given me a son. Thinking the man would do what? Love her. She conceived again and bore a son, 34, and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi or Levi. Do you see? He was anticipating the man's love. Oh, I've given him 3 sons. And so, he will do what? He will love me. And the love was not coming. Now, 35.
And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Listen.
Therefore, she called his name Judah. Brethren, this is the turning point. She called the name of the fourth son Judah. And the meaning is what? I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at something. Let's continue with the story. It's a very lovely story. In chapter 13, then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. That after giving birth to another son. So she called his name Asher. You see, after naming Judah, which is praise, now the name turns to what? Blessed. Because after Judah, the man began to love her. Do you know why? Let's continue. From 17. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a third son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. Oh, Asher was born, gave birth by a maid that Leah gave to Jacob. Good. So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob's third son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Brethren, during the beginning, he started naming the children with what? Anxiety. But now, you see, the naming after Judah changed. After the praise, it changed. He named the other one blessed. And now, here, he said, what? Everyone will call her what?
Blessed.
You see, she started sorrowfully. Things were not going well. But when praise Judah came in, and you know what? In the history of the Israelites, any time Israel went to war, they were attacked first by Judah. Judah leads them in all their wars. Do you know why? Praise leads. We shall come to that. Praise leads. When Leah named Judah praise, that opened the door. And you see, it fitted into the plan of God. That with God, when you praise him, it opens doors. When you praise him, it opens doors. Brethren, that's a wonderful revelation that I saw. I said, wow! In our lives, most often when we are faced with problems, it's very difficult for us to realize, no, it's good to start with praise. But most often, what we do is not to praise. We begin to complain, analyze, and then tell people about our problems. Instead of praising God, the exams you are writing is difficult. You will, Father, thank you. Then, praise his name. You make a way. You will definitely make a way. Let's look at another scenario. When Israel was entering into Canaan, we all know the story, how Joshua just trumpets, banging and shouting, the walls came down. We know that. Look at David. Let's look at David. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's start from verse 4. Let's start from 1 so that it makes it clearer. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. You know, the ark of the covenant
was captured by the Philistines, and they set it in front of their god. Yeah? And when they woke up in the morning, a part of the god was broken, the arm was broken. The following day, they went, another arm was broken. Then they became scared. Now what? Finally, the dragon himself fell down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So what they did was to take the Ark of the Covenant, and then they sent it all the way into a valley, and it came down into a place, I've forgotten the name. So the Israelites went for it, but they left it in one place, in a man's place, Obed-Edom. He took care of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. Now David wanted to take the Ark of this covenant and bring it into the city of David. And so he built a tabernacle for that, so that the Ark of the Covenant will be brought in there. Now let's look at how David went about this. He said, so they brought the Ark of the God of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. You see it. What David did was to select some people. They will be singing, always be singing and dancing in the tabernacle. Their main job is to sing. Brethren, and one of the people was Asaph. When you read the book of the Psalms, you hear the Psalm of Asaph. He was one of the singers. Singing is a ministry. Let's not look down on that ministry. It's very important. We are all not gifted with good voices, but at least there are some of us who are gifted. And like Uncle Jeff, it's a ministry. You know Damoen, you know him? Damoen. Very good. He's more or less now a pastor. He's a pastor. He's a minister of God. Through singing, we have our own Ross Jester. That's good. He's a minister of God. Through singing. And I wish I have that. Yes, to be honest with you. Because there are people who get preaching, the song will just become the appropriate song. You see, the songs will just be coming and they sing. And the place will be electrified. You will see the Spirit of God moving mightily. You see, so these are what David did. 5. Asaph, the chief, and the next to him, Zechariah, then Jael, Shemeran, Jehiel, Matthias, these are names. You see, the names of the people. And the 6, Benaiah and Jezreel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpet before the Ark of the Covenant of Praise. You see it. And there is a prophecy that God gave concerning this. In Acts chapter 15, brethren, the Lord says in the last day, in Acts chapter 15, brethren, let's go there. In Acts chapter 15, verses 15. Let's look at 16. Here was James speaking. After Peter has told the council in Jerusalem about how God moved and asked him to go to Joppa. This is what James said. He said, after this I will return. James was referring to a prophecy. He said in Amos, he said, and I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. In the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle that David built, brethren, I think I have given a sermon about this before. They weren't like curtains to separate the Ark of the Covenant from the people. The people worshipped in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and there was singing and praises all the time. And this is the tabernacle that the Lord is going to rebuild in the last days. You see, that we come before God, we praise Him, we worship Him forever. There's nothing like a curtain or something. No. Nothing. Just the Ark of the Covenant and the people. It's in the midst of the people. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon also, following the footsteps of his father, did the same thing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's start from verse 1. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Think about it. If the priest cannot enter because of the glory of the Lord that has entered into the place, how? When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. He sang that song. For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Listen. This is the marching song, the anthem of the Israelites. For He is good, they sing, and His mercies endure forever. How wonderful is this? 5. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep to the king, and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services. The Levites also with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, do you see it? For His mercy endures forever. Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priest sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Brethren, the power of praise. The power of praise. Let's look at another scenario. Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3 verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets. And the Levites, the sons of Asaph. You remember Asaph? He was chosen by David to lead the praises. With symbols of praise, the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel, and they sang responsibly, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Do you see it? Look, after David, when David put in place this system, all those who followed David saw the power within. That look, we've now found a key. And that key is anytime we praise the Lord, His glory shines. He descends, He comes down, we feel it. So Ezra, after they've been taken away as captives, and they came back, laid the foundation of the temple. They followed in the footsteps of David. Brethren, what are we doing in our personal lives? In our personal lives, how are we going by things? How often do we remember the message and the grace of God in our lives when things are not going well? I tell you, there was a time in my life I couldn't pray. I couldn't do anything. What I was doing was to get a CD by a Ghanaian musician, and wherever I was going, whatever I was doing, I was playing that music. And that song had been with me up to now. With me. And it sounds good, something like, no matter a storm, no matter what, I will never turn my back to you, Lord. But it was, those were my dark days. Those days where I couldn't pray. When I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. No. But one thing I was able to do was to sing. In fact, one thing I was able to do was just to sing.
Brethren, let's continue. Let's look at one example from the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3. The king of Moab is attacking Israel. And so the king of Israel ran to the king of Judah, who is Jehoshaphat, and asked for help. So let's see how the story unfolds. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. Now let's go to verse 6 and continue. So King Jeroboam went out of Samaria at that time and mastered all Israel. When he went and said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? And he said, I will go up. As you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. We all know that the king of the northern kingdom and the king of the southern kingdom, that is Judah, they are brothers. So here is the war. My brother, will you help me? Okay, why not? I will help you. Let's continue, brethren. Let's go to 13. So Jehoshaphat, suggested that they find a prophet in Israel so that they can consult. So they went to Elisha. They went to Elisha. And this said, then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophet of your father and the prophet of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I will not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician. Do you see what Elisha asked of? He asked for a musician, someone to come and sing. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You see, it's like as we are meeting, and before the sermon came, we sang songs, didn't we? And like where we sang Uncle David's song, and we saw the hand of God moving. Yeah? We prayed about it. I said, Lord, and you gave a scripture reading, Psalm 91, to assure us. You see how God works. You see how God works. It's the same thing. When they got to Elisha, before Elisha could do something about the situation, he asked for a musician to come and sing. To move
the hand of God. When we sing, brethren, this is one secret. It moves the hand of God in the situation we find ourselves.
Let's not forget.
Let's not forget to offer praises and worship whenever, wherever we find ourselves. If we should forget about everything, let's not forget about the singing. Let's sing. Sing to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to Him. Jeremiah gave the prophecy about our time now. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. It is the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. Our Lord and Savior Jesus said, and the voice of the bride, the church, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You see, we bring the sacrifice of praise. And what is a sacrifice of praise? It's singing. Singing with our voices. Hello. I'm sorry, the song is not familiar. Oh, then make a joyful noise. Just hum along. Just do something along. It's from within.
Brother,
so someone will ask, so what about the New Testament era? What about the New Testament era? Because all these examples are from the Old Testament. Have you forgotten when Saul and Silas were in prison? I believe Paul couldn't pray at that time. He was overwhelmed. And so what did he do? He and Silas, the son. The Bible says they sang hymns. Let's go there. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not Acts 15. No, 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 no. Thank you. But we know the story. Yeah, I didn't put it down, actually. But we know the story. That Paul and Silas, they sang. And the prison doors opened. And they came out. They came out. Just singing of hymns. They came out. Brethren. You see, our Christian life is not something that is, it's so simple. If you get the tools, it's so simple. It's simple, simple things. But we see it as, you know, something big. No. Our God loves us. It's like my daughter. What I am able to do, she may not be able to do them. But if I want her to do something, I'll make sure the things I ask her to do are simple things. You see? Simple, simple things. Something she can handle. If it's about carrying, something she should be able to carry. That's how our loved God and Father also. That's how He deals with us. He says He will never, you know, make us face any temptation that will be over us. But in every temptation, He will make a way of escape for us. That is it. You see, it's the will of God that we as Christians, we live a life that will show the glory of God. And our Father will always show us the way. The Holy Spirit will never leave us in the dark. Like we saw the will of God concerning giving. How do you give without first giving of yourself? You first have to give of yourself to God. And so, when it comes to praises, it's the same thing. Ephesians. This will be our last scripture, brethren. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start from 17. This is Paul's admonition to the church in Ephesus. It says, therefore. Therefore means he talked about some things earlier on. Based on the things he said earlier on,
Let's go to what he said earlier on, verse 15. He said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See? That as Christians, we don't walk anyhow. We walk as the wise people do. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what is the will of the Lord? He will never tell us this without showing us the way. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, the will of the Lord for us is that we will be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking to one another in both psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, all is comma. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God. You see, the will of God for us is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we sing forth hymns, songs to Him, brethren. From today, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we are doing, you can hum to yourself, you can even sing within your heart. Let's sing our way into freedom. Let's sing our way into victory. Let's sing our way into prosperity. Like Paul was saying, not about too much. We shouldn't be unwise. No. We talk too much. We tell people, we don't do this. No. But let's sing. Let the songs of praise overtake and overwhelm us, Lord. Let us move from this level to a different level, where the praises of God will fill our lives, will fill our homes, will fill everywhere we step. You know why? When you are singing, wherever you go, your face shines. When you are singing, you see, moving around singing, your face is always shining. Brethren, this afternoon, this is what the Spirit has been to share with you. He is with us. No matter what we're going through, He's with us. It's not easy, especially in these end times. But He's shown us His will. And His will for us be glorious. Glorious in singing. Glorious in worshiping. Glorious in prayer. Thank Him. In Jesus' name. Amen.